So your agency's probably failing to keep the public informed about what goes on inside the office doors. The Center for Effective Government's grading federal compliance with the Freedom of Information Act, and the results are not so hot. Sean Moulton's director of the Center's Open Government Policy Program. Sean, it's good to have you back on the program. You hit three key areas in this. Tell me what those three areas are. That's where we'll start, Sean.
Sure. We looked at processing of requests, basically responding back to those people who wrote into these agencies asking for information. The rules and regulations that govern these, each agency's FOIA program, and then the websites that the agencies are using to interact with the public. And we weighted them. 50% was on processing because, let's face it, if you're not doing good on the requests, you're not doing good on FOIA. And then 25% each for the rules and the websites.
And the criteria that you used within each of those buckets came about how, Sean?
Well, for the processing, there is a wealth of information that comes out each year from each agency, and we tried to look at what we felt were the most fundamental aspects of what would be good in terms of processing. We looked at timeliness. We looked at how much was being disclosed. We looked at appeals and whether or not they were being effective in a second look. On the regulations, we had an advantage because about 3-4 months ago, we actually put out a report called Best Practices of FOIA Regulations. And we really had gone through dozens of agencies' FOIA regulations looking for the best language, the best provisions that deal with how to govern those programs, and so we use that as our roadmap. And finally, on websites, we went through the websites, and again, we looked for what agencies were doing, not all agencies, but what was common practice in terms of contact information, forms to submit requests, posting of released records, that kind of thing.
So what I was getting at there, Sean, is that you didn't just pull these criteria out of a hat. These are all things that are documentable, the best practices and data and so forth. You got the overall results, as I indicated when you first came on, were not terrific, but there was a mixed bag here. I noticed that this report says in each of three performance areas, at least one agency earned an A, showing that excellence is possible. That demonstrates that these are not things that are out of the realm of the agency's abilities to do these things, right?
Exactly. We're not looking at things in some sort of glorified ideal system. These are all things that some agencies are already doing. The real problem seemed to be that agencies struggled to be consistent across all three areas.
None of the 15 agencies earned exemplary scores. That's an A overall in all three of the categories, and only 8 earned passing grades, 60 or more out of a possible 100 points. That's kind of sad when you really consider it.
It was disappointing. It really was. The good news is a lot of these agencies can improve very easily. There's website scores can go up. I don't want to say overnight, but it's not hard to fix a lot of the problems on these websites, putting up contact information or putting up a reading room where information that other people have requested and has been released can be seen. These are relatively easy fixes, and the same with the regulations. These are provisions that other agencies have, so if agencies update their regs and go with some of these best practices, they can get that in a couple of months.
Another way to slice this that's not really encouraging, Sean, is to look at the top of the list. This says the Social Security Administration was top performer with a B grade. SSA performed exceptionally well at processing FOIA requests, but earned relatively low scores for its rules and website. Then you cite the Justice Department second, EPA third, Agriculture fourth, but you write Agriculture, just by the time we get down to fourth on the list, middling grades in each area, it doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement for coming in fourth.
Well, middling might be, it's high middling. They got a B minus in processing requests, which is a solid grade. And on their regulations, they got a 79%. I mean, they were just short of
so close.
So close. On their website, though, they did get a D, which was disappointing. But as I said, a website grade is probably the easiest of the three to bring up.
Well, that's what I want to focus on. Sean Moulton, the Center for Effective Government's my guest. I want to focus on the websites and what makes a good one or a bad one, what gets you an A, what gets you a D or an F, since that's the area that's easiest to fix.
Sure. What we tried to look at on websites were first and foremost tools that allowed people to actually make requests, get information, track the request online, submit appeals if they didn't get their information or denied. So basically a tool to actually help you make the request and interact with the agency. The other big piece is just contact information. A name, a phone number, an email address, various people, some people want to go by email. They want to send an email. Other people are going to want to call and talk. If you don't have that kind of information up on the website, you're not facilitating good communication.
And those are all items that should be relatively easy for an agency or any organization to fix. It's not that complicated anymore.
No, it's not. Another big part is simply tutorials that help people understand how to craft a good FOIA request, how to narrow it and make sure you're being as specific as possible, whether it's narrowing them by dates or by topic area. And the reality is, by giving this information to the requester, you're not only helping them. Agencies really are helping themselves in the process, because if they get clearer, more focused requests, and it's easier for them to process them, and they'll be faster with them.
One of the things you point out here, Sean, is only two of the reviewed agencies have updated their regulations since the 2007 amendments to FOIA. Why is that bad, and what's changed since then that's so dramatic that requires updates?
Well, it's bad because if you're not keeping your FOIA regulations up to date, obviously you can't include things from the latest modifications to the statute. The 2007 amendments to FOIA created a whole new office, the Office of Government Information Services. It's supposed to be basically an ombudsman to help requesters. And agencies now should be having references to that office in their regulations, in their communications with requesters, so that people know that there is this resource available to them if they run into difficulty. And obviously, if you're not updating your regulations, then you're not considering those things. It's also, if you're not updating your regulations, you're just not going to keep up with the most modern aspects of using technology such as websites. You're not going to include email addresses and website addresses that if your regulation's old enough, you didn't have when that regulation was established.
Final thought, it seems to me the most difficult of these to change is the one that you weighted the heaviest, and that's the actual processing of requests. I'm not suggesting that your weighting it the heaviest was unfair by any means, Sean, but it seems to me that this is the one that requires the most people power at a time when agencies are working against tighter budgets.
Well, it's also weighted the most because it really encompasses so much. I mean, as you said, staff expertise, interaction with other agencies, the tools that they have on the back end that the public never sees in terms of managing documents. There is an awful lot that goes into processing, and there's simply no way based on the data to break it out into smaller pieces. And so we gave it a big weight. But you're right, it's going to take the most work for agencies to improve their processing. But the reality is, if agencies see this as an investment and not just a flat-out expenditure for some bureaucratic checkbox, but an investment in communicating better with the public, it's really going to pay dividends for them down the road. The processing itself will become less expensive over the long term, and many of these requests really are in the best interest of the agency. These are requests where people are trying to assist agencies in their mission, whether it's EPA and people are trying to find out information about the environment of their community, or Department of Transportation and people worried about bridges and roads in their area. People request information to try and assist the agencies. And so by by doing a better job with these requests, the agencies are accomplishing their mission.
Why do you think it's still so hard to get the agencies to buy into that, Sean?
You know, I think you really hit on a major hurdle, which is the money and the investment. And the fact of the matter is agencies too often see this as an add-on, that they have their mission and that this responding to FOIA requests is something they have to do in addition to that. And they don't often enough see it as something that benefits them in the long term. Because when people find problems from a FOIA request, they uncover some aspect that the agency missed or did a poor job on. Unfortunately, the agency see that as a negative because they get embarrassed. And the reality is, in the long term, it benefits all of us and the agency by fixing these problems.
Great to have you on, as always, Sean. Congratulations on this work, and I appreciate your time to talk about it with me today.
Thanks so much for having me.